Avastin, or bevacizumab, is a monoclonal antibody that binds to a growth factor called the vascular endothelial growth factor, which we call VEGF because saying the long name just becomes impossible. And that's one of the most common growth factors that tumors produce to stimulate blood vessels to grow into the tumor. And we've understood for quite a while now that in order for cancers to grow, they have to develop a bigger blood supply. So it made sense that if you could somehow block the growth of that blood supply, that should be an effective therapy or help our other therapies be more effective. So there are many drugs in development that try to block the growth of those blood vessels, and Avastin was one of the first ones to enter clinical trials. Once it had completed its phase 1 trials, one of the first studies that was done was actually a phase 2 study giving Avastin alone to women who had very heavily pretreated metastatic breast cancer. This phase 2 trial overall enrolled 75 patients, and we found that about 9% of patients had an objective response, meaning their tumors shrunk by about half. And I know some people have looked at that and said, 9%, doesn't sound that great. But these were women who had very advanced disease, who'd had lots of previous chemotherapy. And at that point, we didn't expect we were going to see any objective responses. We thought the best we would see was disease that would remain stable for a longer period of time. In addition to that 9%, there were about 17% overall whose disease was stable or responding for at least 5 months. And 4 of those 75 patients who were treated without progression for at least a year. So we were very encouraged by those results, and that led to the first phase 3 trial, which also looked at patients with pretty heavily pretreated disease. So that first phase 3 trial compared capecitabine or Xeloda by itself to capecitabine with Avastin. And to be eligible for that trial, you had to have had previous therapy with an anthracycline and a taxane at some point in your course. And you could have had up to 2 previous chemotherapy regimens for metastatic disease. So women who had adjuvant therapy with an anthracycline and taxane could have had 2 other chemotherapy regimens before they enrolled in this trial. If they had their anthracycline and taxane in the adjuvant setting and they progressed within 12 months, so a really difficult group with aggressive tumors, they could have enrolled in this trial as their first therapy for metastatic disease. And that was the case in about 15% of the patients. Overall, what we found in that trial was that adding Avastin to the capecitabine essentially doubled the response rates. And that was true whether you are most swayed by the response as designated by the investigator sitting in the room with the patient or by a blinded independent review facility. But since this was a refractory group of patients, the response rates were pretty low. So even doubling them really didn't change the average time that it took for the disease to progress or worsen. And that was really the main endpoint of the study. We were still encouraged, though, because we saw that Avastin had activity. The side effects were exactly as we had predicted from our earlier experience, with about 15 to 20% of patients developing hypertension that needed some intervention, a much smaller proportion of patients developing proteinuria that did not otherwise impact their kidney function, and very low rates of blood clots and bleeding, and really no new side effects, and no suggestion that adding Avastin to the chemotherapy increased or enhanced the chemotherapy side effects. What we expected was that if we could use Avastin earlier in the course of the disease, when women were not so refractory, they had not seen so much previous therapy, that we would see more impressive results. And that led to the E2100 study, which looked at women receiving their first chemotherapy for metastatic disease. It randomized them to either paclitaxel or Taxol alone, using a weekly schedule of weekly therapy for 3 weeks and then a week off, or the same chemotherapy with Avastin given every other week. And we chose that schedule because that would still allow patients to have the 4th week without an infusion. We were delighted that the results in some ways were very similar to the capecitabine study. Response rates essentially doubled by adding the Avastin. But in this less heavily pretreated patient population, that led to a dramatic improvement in the progression-free survival, or the average time from the start of therapy until the disease had clearly worsened, from just over 6 months in the women treated with Taxol alone to almost 11.5 months in women treated with the combination.
What about the quality of life and sort of how patients felt? I guess initially they would get the Taxol. Was it stopped and then Avastin continued?
The trial said for both groups that you could continue therapy until either disease progression or unacceptable toxicity. What we did allow for patients in the combination arm was for them to stop the Taxol at any point, either because of cumulative toxicity, their own wishes, they or their oncologist thought that they've sort of reached maximal benefit, and then continue the Avastin alone until progression. And there were many women who took that option, though at variable time courses. And there were some women who continued both drugs for over 2 years, which I found astounding because I would have dumped the chemotherapy long ago.